Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of it. Come on, I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Yo, what's going on, Sports City? It's your boy Sirius running the show tonight. Shout out to everybody tuning in, man. We got a nice little basketball crossover cafe that we're going to throw at you guys this evening. Definitely, man, thanks for checking us out, man. Calling number is, let me get my calling number. I really ever do this. Calling number is 929-477-2759. You got the next 90 minutes or so here with your boy. So I definitely appreciate it. But before we get cracking on the basketball talk, let me bring in the man behind the screen controlling everything, Barry the Villain. Jordan, what's going on, my dude? How you doing this evening?
Villain, I'm good, man. It's a busy evening, man. Lots going down in the NBA, so much so that Sirius put up the bat signal that we need to do a show, and I was like, you know what? You absolutely right. So we here at the Crossover Cafe, the free agency feast. We about to do it big. How you feeling, Sirius?
You know what? I'm good, man. Sitting here getting ready to go out of town to do some business, but I figure while I got some time, man, let me get this in, man. Man, I'm not going to waste anybody else's time before we get cracking. What we got on the call, the switchboard, everything good on the switchboard?
Yeah, we good right now. I will let you know if somebody's in, but right now it's just you and me for the next 60 minutes or so. If you want to pull it to 90, we can pull it out, but we good.
Well, let's start with 60, and if it gets crazy in here, man, we can go to 90, man. But, you know, let's start with, you know, free agency, man. Obviously, that's the hot topic of the day, man. There's a lot of names going different places, a lot of, you know, monopoly money being thrown around. Obviously, Kyle Lowry is no longer in Toronto as he signed a deal with the Miami Heat. So we can definitely chop that up a little bit. Lonzo Ball is now in Chicago after doing his sign and trade. We could talk about free agent signings and extensions. Steph Curry then had the Brinks truck backed up. Steph Curry got a new deal. I'm not too sure what the echo's coming from, but we'll figure it out.
That's me. I'm good.
Okay. So there's a lot going on. I mean, the Knicks have been busy. The Rockets just picked up. Who did we just sign? We just signed Daniel Theis to a 4-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Theis, cat who used to play, I believe he played in Boston. So we got another big to go along with Christian Wood and, you know, Jalen Green, man. Where you feel like going, man? You want to talk about some bum-ass Knicks or how you feel?
No, we could save the Knicks for a little bit. They did do a nice deal. They brought in three of their guys back, and then they got Evan Fournier on a 4-year, $74, $78 million deal. So that's pretty interesting.
Right,
but I mean, let's not nail the big topics of the day. So Chris Paul, 4-year,
right,
$120 million to go back to Phoenix, as we all thought he would. So from my seat, Sirius, I thought it was a smart deal by Chris Paul and the Suns to bring him back. They want both sides wanted to re-up. Instead of doing $44 million, they got him back for about $30 million, saving about this year $14 million in cap space. And then they're able to bring in a free agent. I had mentioned that, you know, they needed a big. You know, we talked about it offline. They needed a big. They kind of got exposed down in the front court behind Ayton when by the Bucks, when especially when the I can't say his name. I hate saying his name. Sarkis went down. Kaminsky was the only backup center. Right. So. And I think you broke it that JaVale McGee signed a deal to go to Phoenix, correct?
Yeah, he signed a 1-year, $5 million deal a couple minutes ago. So
absolutely.
I guess he and,
so that,
you know, Devin Booker.
They're good now.
Okay, I guess he and Devin Booker, you know what I'm saying, in the middle of Team USA practice, decided to do this for a extended period of time. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that I think that's one piece that's going to be really big. It's a low-key signing for a team that really needed some down-low toughness. I think he provides that, and he's got a ring. So, he's going to lead the way, but, you know, he's a guy that can kind of help Ayton get to that next level, which I think he's prime and ready to go there. So I think that's a good deal for both sides. So Chris Paul going back to Phoenix, I think, works for both sides to see if they can run it back again.
Well, one of the things that is definitely big for the Phoenix Suns, along with getting Chris Paul, was Cameron Payne decided to re-up for a 3-year, $19 million deal. So their whole bench, you know, I would say their whole bench, but a good piece of their bench is coming back for another couple years. So, you know, campaign who obviously, you know, kind of made his coming out party, if you will, during these playoffs. He, Chris Paul, all decided to re-sign there. And like my man Zillin alluded to, gives them the flexibility to go out and, you know, potentially grab another mid-level star, to kind of go alongside and trying to make that run again. Now, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. All things created equal, it's gonna be very difficult in the West to get back. I think the Bucks have a better shot in the East and getting back to the NBA Finals than the Phoenix Suns do. But that's another conversation for another day. We will definitely chop that up at another time. But with that being said. Another deal, obviously, Kyle Lowry signing that massive deal to join forces with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler in Miami. That deal, honestly, didn't come as a shock, but, you know, what does that particular move do for the Miami Heat alongside Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and company? How you feel about that particular move?
I like it. I think he's the point guard they needed. I like Dragic, but I don't think he was a great fit. I think he was a good fit. I think Lowry's a better fit, a tough-minded point guard that plays on both sides of the court. Dragic's defense isn't as good as Lowry's, clearly. So I think for both sides, and the fact that they did bring back Duncan on a 5-year, $90 million deal, congrats to Duncan. I mean, we're talking about a D3 guy. A D3 player that is signing a $90 million contract, so salute to him. And Butler signing that max extension, 4-year extension, to a la Curry. You know, so now Miami is set. They have, I think, the pieces in place to really get back to the finals a year removed from their bubble finals run. Will they be able to contend with the Nets and the Bucks and seeing what the Sixers do in with Ben Simmons and company? We'll see, but they're going to be right there in the thick of it, and they're going to be a tough out in the East. I'm sorry. So I like Kyle Lowry going there. I thought he would have got traded by now in the last couple off seasons. He stayed loyal to Toronto, but eventually gets moved to where he wants to go in Miami, and they're gonna be a tough out in the East.
So actually, I like the move. I think that Kyle Lowry going to Miami is actually the move that they all needed. Another move to kind of keep an eye on, it's not finalized yet and everything, but they are also being reported to be courting Markieff Morris. Markieff Morris potentially could be going there to add depth, some shooting to that team. They're a year removed from playing in the NBA Finals. Once again, like we alluded to, on the outskirts and the outstretch of this, you know, this particular topic, it's going to be very difficult, in my opinion, for Miami to get back there. But again, the season that they just had was so poor. You can blame it on injuries. It seems like, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, plays one game and is out for the next five. So maybe Father Time is tapping him on the shoulder and saying, you know, it might be time to do something. You still have the question mark in Oladipo, whether he's going to be able to come back from injury, and, you know, he just has off-season surgery and things of that nature. So there's a lot of questions surrounding the Miami Heat, but I do like the fact that they were able to go out there and make a significant splash, and something tells me that they're still not done. Making moves here. Another move that I wanted to talk about, you know, up front, you mentioned, Caruso and the Bulls, but obviously the Chicago Bulls come to mind. With the Lonzo Ball, now they, you know, go get Alex Caruso on a 4 years, $37 million deal. There's a lot of mouths that need to be fed, in my opinion, in Chicago. We mentioned it offline, you know, Kobe White, you know, the rookie sensation, you know, that came out a season ago. Is he just falling out of favor there? What's the game plan for him? I mean, Alex Caruso is not going to carry a team. He's a guy who, you know, we've all seen what his body of work is. He's a scrappy guy who gets a shot, plays solid defense, but obviously that team is going to run through Lonzo Ball. How do you feel about the Chicago Bulls outskirts, what they've been able to do via free agency so far, and just kind of, you know, take a bird's eye view, if you will, at what happens down the road with the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, I'll definitely get to that point, and then we do have a caller in queue. I think it's Mark, so I want to definitely bring him in. I agree with you. It's going to be tough now for the Bulls looking forward next year to re-sign Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine wants to get paid. I think he at this point can get a 4 year, $100 million deal. I don't know if that's enough to entice him. He's coming off of a really good season, all-star candidate. Now he's an Olympian. He might be looking for more money and another team with some cap space, maybe the Knicks. Maybe some other teams next year that are in some cap-friendly space would want to sign him. So I don't know. I really think I like the Lonzo Ball move. I think it's the point guard they needed. I think Kobe White's a good player. I think Ball is an upgrade, and I definitely think Ball gives them some transition game with LaVine that you can pair with. But I think looking in the future, I think they better pray they have enough space and enough money to get a deal done with LaVine, because if they don't, they'll be back to square one in Chicago, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Go ahead and get the call ahead on me.
Yeah, absolutely. So from the 615, we got a friend of the program. Of course, my computer wants to act up right now, of course. So
what's
calling
up,
in from the – what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? To answer your question that you just asked about the Bulls, like, if I'm looking at other teams that are putting together three max contracts to put together rosters, I think if they want to, they can find a way to fit LaVine in there. As far as your question about Kobe White, I think that, You could possibly see him and Ball run together in that backcourt a little bit at times, unless they decide that, you know, they are going to try to use him to bring another piece back. And Caruso is not a mouth you have to feed. You just said that, like, he's kind of a glue guy. Also, did you guys hear P.J. Tucker to Miami?
No, I did not. I was trying to get on the tracker, and I didn't get that.
Yeah, that just happened like a couple seconds ago. So P.J. Tucker signed a 2-year, $15 million deal with Miami.
That's a good move. You know,
that's a good get.
That's a smart move. That's a decent role player. He doesn't have to be ball dominant. He can hit some shots, but he also
he straps up.
He plays a little tough. He plays tough defense.
Yeah,
he plays D, man.
And I think he's an upgrade over. I think he's an upgrade over Iguodala, who they opted not to bring back. I think Iguodala goes back to Golden State. I think he's a good fit there at a lower cost. But yeah, Tucker on the wing is an upgrade over Iguodala. I like what the Heat are doing. They're making some solid moves. We got another caller in queue, though, Sirius. I'm going to bring him in, and we'll get this thing on and popping as the crossover cafe is starting to fill up. So calling out of the 917 caller, what's up?
Hey, boys, it's I calling out of Brooklyn. See, the Knicks is bringing back the band, and the Bulls are throwing around Monte Caruso. I just had to make
Hold on. You ain't going to come in here and start talking Knicks stuff, sir. We can't be doing that, man. I got enough of y'all to deal with already, man.
Yo, these big fans are ready to press. I'm like, what do you want them to do? Give the rolls in the bag? Like, be easy. But on that one, I think I'm calling it show support. But the Knicks fans want to start Grimes already. So I'm dealing with that madness. I'm like, where are we going to start Grimes already? Like, so, I mean, these NBA players better thank China and the internet. That's all I'm saying. They better thank China and the internet.
Damn.
But that's where all this money's coming from. All this money coming from. But free agency, man, it's got to be some tampering. Can we get LeBron some tampering? We're going to people's houses. That's what we're doing.
Well, it's not tampering anymore. It's not tampering. I think the players are doing a lot of the wheeling and dealing for the team. So, it's getting pretty interesting.
It's weird because the way that Russell Westbrook deal went down, man, like, according to what I'm understanding, you know, it's off topic for a minute, but according to what I'm understanding, like, he and LeBron James had a conversation, you know, bippity-bop, and now he's in L.A. I mean, he got fined for mentioning Anthony Davis in an interview, like, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, it was basically the three of them had a meeting of the minds at LeBron's house and decided to put the egos away, like I said yesterday on the Sunday brunch.
The three of them was Jared Dudley.
But you know he ain't far behind, bro. You know he ain't far behind.
Well, I mean, Marc Gasol, he's the only one under contract there in L.A. with them. So, I mean, actually, they just got Wayne Ellington, so I think that's a good move for them, too, an upgrade over Caldwell
Pope. And Lou Dang is still making more money off the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Marc.
There's talk of Howard coming back. There's talk of Dwight Howard coming back as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Lakers have a lot of positions to fill out. They only have four guys, including Westbrook, under contract, and I think another player, and then that rookie that Eric loves to death. But they definitely have a full roster to fill out. So they got Ariza, they got Ellington, and they have Dwight Howard, to Mark's point. And I think they obviously lost Caruso. So they have a lot of work to do, but, you know, LeBron is a good sticking point. A lot of people want
to
play with him.
They're going to have to shop in the 99 cent aisle.
They're waiting on Melo.
Hey, yo, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing.
Melo want to keep having kids. He's going to have to keep playing. So that's what they think.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, he's going through a divorce, so he needs all the money he can get.
Yeah,
he's going
to
sign the mid-level option.
Wow.
He's got to keep playing.
Listen, for this
roster to have success, though, Anthony Data Davis is going to have to be on the court.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I guess,
we'll see if that happens.
LeBron going to take him to that tank. That little tank LeBron paid the million. I think he's going to put AD in there. Give him the secret.
Came
in
street clothes.
You know, that's what they're banking on. You know, it's going to be interesting when it's crunch time and Westbrook go down the lane and, you know, drop it off and nobody's there because he's by himself. So this is going to be pretty interesting. But,
here's the funny thing about that whole thing, man. Like, the Lakers are going to be funny to watch, man, because, like, people going to say, like, they shop at the 99-cent store. But honestly, like, you can shop at the 99-cent store, but if you get put in Cristal bottles, sometimes that taste does kind of rub off.
Now, you're right, and here's the thing. And here's the thing. If you get people at this point, you've got your stars. You got LeBron and Russ who can penetrate. If you get guys that fit certain roles, I'm a bargain shopper as much as anybody sometimes. I like the glitz and the glamour at times if I'm trying to impress, but at the same time, if it's something I'm just doing on my own at times, I'm sometimes looking for value, man. So if you get people to fill certain roles, you can still fill out this roster and be pretty good.
I go to Walmart and shop the Equate aisle. You know, I get the Equate brand at Walmart, so it's nothing wrong with it. But I mean, there's a lot of good value.
But you take the tags off.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of. But my kids don't know the difference. What do they know?
My man be imagining this deer park.
If I'm taking the lady out, I'm trying to go to the nice restaurant that overlooks the city where you can see the water and everything, right? And trying to impress. But at the same time, like, every once in a while, you just want to pull through a drive-thru and grab yourself a big-ass unhealthy hamburger, right? Like, and that doesn't cost as much.
And tell her no cheese. Cheese is expensive. You know, you can't afford cheese right now. The pandemic.
Oh, yeah, Whopper with no cheese, bro. Like,
exactly. I mean, you know, the Lakers are going to be looking for guys that can come in at the mid-level exception or less. Maybe guys that have been bought out. You know, Drummond's not coming back. But you're talking about Rudy Gay. You're talking about Nick Batum. Carmelo Anthony. There's players at the lower level that they can go after.
Nick Batum is staying in L.A.
He's
staying in San Francisco. Hey, did you hear me, Villain?
Yes, you said he's staying in L.A.
Nick Batum is staying with the Clippers. So he's off.
Right, but
there's
other deals to be had. There's other guys at a lower level that they can probably sneak in and get to fill out the roster. So I'll be curious about that. But I got to talk about my Knicks. Can I talk my shit again?
Hey,
serious?
Go ahead. Do your thing, man. Do your thing.
I do like what they're doing. They're bringing back the guys that they need to bring back. Noel is a rim protector that, you know, you have to bring back because you don't know if Robinson can stay healthy, right? I do like Alex Burks over Reggie Bullock, even though Reggie Bullock had a really good year shooting the three ball and 3-and-D guy. Burks gives you a little bit more versatility. He can play 1-3, and he can score and defend. So I think out of the two, they couldn't bring them both back. You got to bring Burks back. I love bringing Derrick Rose back on a 3-year deal. You got his bird rights. So what I think can happen is they still can fit in another player, maybe a point guard or DeMar DeRozan, and then sign Derrick Rose to go over the cap because they have his bird rights. So don't think the Knicks are done. Don't think they're finished. I think they still have one big signing to go. If they don't do a signing, I think a trade with the Thunder for like Kemba Walker, or maybe even, you know, dare I say, Damian Lillard is still on the board for them, possibly. But I do like Evan Fournier. I don't think it's a big splash that Knicks fans are looking for, and I don't think there's a big splash in this market, especially with a lot of guys going back to their teams. But I think Fournier is an upgrade over Bullock, so I think that's a good get for them. So I think they're not done, but I like what they're doing. They're getting shooters around guys that they need to get shooters around. So that's my take.
All right, so let me throw this around, man. Matt, how you feel about what the New York Knicks have been able to do? I'm going to save myself for last, and I'm going to crucify them because that's what I do.
You looking to me? Is that what you said?
Yeah. How you feel about the Knicks?
Okay, I'm sorry. You call me Matt. I'm Mike, man. I'm Mike.
My fault, man. I apologize.
No, you're good. I've chopped it up with you a few times now, man. I enjoy it.
And we all still didn't know each other, right? I appreciate you guys welcoming me into the family.
Absolutely.
Hey, part of being the family is getting called the wrong name a few times. It's good, man. Now, listen, the Knicks are kind of a, I don't know, man. It's just a tough, they're in a tough position, right? When you look at the fact that, like, your main franchise guy is Julius Randle. Who had a fantastic year this past year. Now, when he got to the playoffs, it was a whole different game. But keep in mind, Barry Bonds struggled the first few times in the playoffs, too. I'm not comparing Julius Randle to Barry Bonds. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we just talked about all these other teams that I think are better than the Knicks, though. I mean, you know, we just talked about Miami. We just talked about Milwaukee. We talked about what Brooklyn brings to the table. I don't see Atlanta really falling off, right? Like,
they still
got a lot of good pieces in place. And then you still got Milwaukee. I mean, I didn't even mention them yet, right? Like, and so it makes me wonder, you know, I got a comment on Philly too, but I want to wait on that. But, you know, I think they're doing some decent things. I think Fournier kind of, you know, fits, you know, that system a little bit. I think he's I think he can play. I don't know, man. I, the only thing I can think about the Knicks, man, is I really feel like they're going to war with a water gun, bro. Like, I hate to say it like that because I want to see the Knicks be good again. But it's an uphill battle to make it to the top of that conference. And listen, they finished a lot further up that hill last year than anybody thought they were, but I think they're going to have a hard time just being able to get back to that same spot again next year. So though I like it and I think the Knicks franchise is going in a much more positive direction than it was even a year or two, like, I think that the Knicks fans got to be a little careful because we know how extremely enthusiastic they can be. I mean, that's, you know, fan is short for fanatic, right? But I'm just saying, like, it's going to be tough to even claim the same spot on the hill or on the riser, so to speak, after next season that they got this year. And if you don't, and you end up a little further back, as long as you are, you know, a winning team and a playoff team, I think you got to recognize that it's still success and positive moving in moving in the right direction. Because, like I said, it was just going into last year, nobody expecting to do anything, right? So I think that needs to be kept in mind by Knicks fans as we go throughout this next season.
Here's my take on it, you know, and I actually agree with both of you. You know, I think that New York Knicks fans, you know, need to keep their feet planted. But I do honestly understand that even though they, you know, wasn't picked to be where they were at, they got there. And I'm not going to lie, even though I hate Barry like I do, the fact that, you know, the Knicks were relevant, you know, late, you know, in the basketball season was good for basketball. But with that being said, I don't think you can build around Julius Randle. I don't think he's that superstar. I don't think he's that star that's going to really take you over the top and over the edge. With that being said, you got to work with the pieces that you're given, and unfortunately, he's the best player on that team. I do like the fact that they brought back Derrick Rose. I'm curious to see what else they do. I don't see a marquee free agent signing there because history has shown me that they don't go there, regardless of the situation, regardless how much cap space, regardless of how, you know, the mecca of basketball is the Garden, this, that, and the third. I just don't see them signing a big-name star, so you have to go to these mid-level players to kind of build your team around them. Now, again, Tibbs preaches defense, and, you know, the Knicks would be solid defensively, but you got to be able to put the ball in the bucket. I don't like the Norris Noel move. I just really don't. I just think that for the amount of money that you gave him, that money could have been spent elsewhere for a guy who's averaging, you know, maybe 5-6 points a game, and doesn't really do anything other than just clog the middle and grab boards. I honestly thought that you could potentially go after somebody like a Marquise Morris who can, you know, average, you know, double figures for you. Somebody else, maybe you can go after, you know, somebody big like a Dwight Howard or something like that. Hell, JaVale McGee would have potentially been a bigger upgrade, in my opinion, than Norris Noel would have. And he just signed a 1-year, $5 million deal, you know, to play with Phoenix. So with that being said, I it's going to be interesting to see what the Knicks are able to accomplish. But, you know, again, I will give a little bit of flowers to Knicks fans, again, because they've been pitiful for so long and they saw a glimmer of hope. And, you know, when you give a kid candy for the first time, they get happy. So I will give you that. So salute to Knicks fans.
It's so hateful. I can't with serious. He tries to be nice, but he does it with such a sleight of hand. It's so backhanded. It's ridiculous. Like, dude, I get it. I agree. It's not a splash, but I'm glad they didn't try to make a splash with chicken soup, you know, a chicken shit, or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Like, who's the big free agents came off the board. Kawhi, nobody knows what Kawhi's going to do. No, we don't even. I don't even know what he wants to do. Exactly. He never knows. He always waits till the last minute. It is ridiculous with Kawhi Leonard. He keeps you hanging, you know, what to do, baby. And, like, you don't know what he's doing. You don't know what he's doing. So, I mean, the other free agents, I mean, you can't if they would have overpaid for Kelly Oubre, we'd be going crazy, right? So, I mean, they didn't do
that. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of happy. Like, they still have flexibility. They have their draft picks. I think their way to the top is through a trade. That's the way they're going to get there. Free agency is one thing, yes, but the free agency marquee names are till next year, and a lot of these guys are going to opt back in, right? Curry, et cetera, that, you know, the free agent tracker for next year. So, I mean, the guys that, you know, that are free agents that you can get are Beal and Levine. Those are the headliners. Do you spend all your money this year so you miss out on those guys next year? No, but, you know, the trade market is going to be, you know, is going to be what it is. So I can live with what they're doing. I can live with it.
I mean, honestly, you have no choice but to live with it. That's, unfortunately, that's the team you root for. So with that being said, I've had enough of the Bulls. I've had enough of the Knicks talk. You know, my head is starting to itch. I can't with y'all anymore.
What other free agents we got, Sirius? What other on the docket we got that we haven't talked about?
So
how about
really
the guys that haven't signed yet?
Before we get there, you know, the Cavs signed Allen to a 5-year, $100 million. What the actual F were they thinking there? Like, I cannot be the only one that disagrees with giving Allen that big of a contract. I can't be the only one. Now, granted, the brother's good. You know what I'm saying? But Jared Allen, 5 years, $100 million, like, I mean, what in the world were they thinking there? I don't understand that. Like, tell me you don't have a handle on your franchise without telling me you don't have a handle on your franchise. Not to mention, you're still playing Kevin Love, who can't get out of the injury pool. You know what I'm saying? Colin Sexton is tied to multiple deals, one of which you have to figure out, I think, next year, what the heck are you going to do with this guy? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't understand why you signed Jared Allen to a 5-year, $100 million deal. I can't be the only one. Somebody make some sense of that for me.
I can go. Mike is back in. So, Mike, do you want to?
Yeah,
it's all good.
Got,
do you want to? You want to?
Yeah, I got something
ahead.
On this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
First of all, my bad. My phone has a magic hang up button, I think, when I move it sometimes. No, but like, I think the I have to get the one last thing, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna make your head itch a little bit more about the Knicks, really, really quickly. What you just said towards the very end of that conversation, though, is the most important piece for Knicks fans to remember. Because one of the reasons why teams get stuck in that cellar and have a tough time climbing themselves out. And it even happens to historic franchises like the Knicks. It happened to the Lakers. When you don't get the guys you want, you start throwing bad contracts to try to fill out rosters. And so the fact that they did not make too many jumps in the signings that they made are reasonable will help them. I actually think maybe a trade, but if you do a trade, you're going to have to maybe eat a contract. But you got to draft too. You got to hit through the draft as well. It takes a combination of things. But to your question about the Cavs, I think they've decided to build around Darius Garland instead of Colin Sexton, which is why I think you're going to see Sexton leave. And the other option that they had was Andre Drummond, and we saw him trying to catch balls with those trash can lids of hands that he has down the stretch of the season this past year. So they let Drummond go and bought him out in order to build around Jared Allen. And $20 million is a decent amount, is a lot of money. It's not max money, and unfortunately, $20 million is going to players of less talent. I mean, you don't have to be as talented to make $20 million as you used to, right? So you got to have a point guard, and you got to have a big man when you're trying to build a team and you're trying to build around them. And I think that Jarius Allen and Darius Garland are the two pieces that they're going to build around. If they don't find a piece for Sexton, don't worry. I mean, they'll still take his scoring and whatever he does this year. I don't know that this is the right call, but, I mean, I think that you have to have some foundations or pillars in place to build around. And let's keep it a buck. There are not a lot of free agents that are just dying to go play for the Cleveland Cavaliers, let's be honest. So sometimes maybe you got to give a little bit more, too. So I think they decided that when they let Drummond go, whatever, that he was the guy they were going to build around, and this was the price that they had to pay to make it happen.
I agree. I think nobody's knocking down the door to come back to Cleveland. I think he's 23 years old. A five-year contract takes him to 28 years old. He's got a lot of upside. He's getting better and better. Had 13-9 as a halfway starter behind Andre Drummond and when the trade went down. So now you're bringing him in. He's the undisputed number five. I think pairing him with Mobley, who can play out on the wing as a four, I think that's a nice duo back there. I think the point guard situation, to your point, kind of needs to get sorted out. But I think the upside with Allen, he's only getting better. He's young. I really like it. And to Mike's point, $20 million per year right now is not the same as when Shaq signed that $20 million a year deal to go to the Lakers from Orlando. That's a friendly deal. It may be 5 years, but it's a really friendly deal under the cap. You're talking about, you know, a max player getting $40 million. He's half that. Caruso got almost $10 million. So, I mean, it's really not a bad deal for a 23-year-old that has a lot of upside. So I kind of like the deal for the Cavs. And to Mike's point, they have no choice. They got nobody else on this list other than maybe Frank Ntilikina is going to be knocking down the Cavs door to say, hey, I want a job here. You know what I mean? So what are you going to do?
And the average basketball fan would go, whoop, when you mentioned that last name, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, man, like, I mean, I kind of get what you're trying to say, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you got to pay, you know, you got to pay your players, and you got to pay to kind of get, you know, the production, but I just – like I saw that number and I almost ran into a parked car because I saw it on my phone when I was driving. They did what? Like, hold on a second. I had to pull over and, you know,
Turn. This is why. Hadn't you seen the signs, bro? You're not supposed to text or be messing with your phone while driving. That's why.
I'm a sport mogul, man. Like, this is what I get. And the funny about it is, like, my son was in the back seat listening, watching his little Mickey Mouse Club on his iPad. He said, "Daddy, stop." I'm like, "Yeah, my fault, little homie. I about killed you and me both." So I put my phone down and go park somewhere, but. You know what I'm saying?
You did pull over, right? You pulled over. You pulled over, right?
What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Virginia. I'm right around the corner from where I'm watching the football team practice.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you said that before. My bad. I know that this ain't the place specifically stopping to ask that, but I was just curious.
No, you
the
good,
VA.
You good, but yeah, man. So I'm in the DMV, man. I'm in the DMV. But yeah, man. So since you brought it up, Dylan, man, let's talk about the guys who haven't moved yet or haven't been signed. Let me pull up my list here. If you got the list in front of you, can go ahead and run.
Yeah,
them
I
off.
Do.
Go ahead and reset my thing here.
Respect your gangster.
Before you do that, I thought the one other player that we have talked about that has signed today that would have made a lot of sense for the Knicks would have been Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball, I honestly, Mike, I blogged about it today. I don't think he's a fit.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, I did. And at the trade deadline, I thought he was the point guard to get. I thought, you know, he was probably the best available. But looking at his game, and not to say anything bad about his game, I love his game. He's gotten a lot better. I think he's had his best year. I think he averaged, 14-6 and 5 rebounds, really shot the 3-ball very well this year. He's not a pick-and-roll point guard, and that's what Thibodeau likes. That's why Derrick Rose fits. You know, he's a pick-and-roll point guard. You know, you're talking about Ball as a facilitator, but in the open court, in the fast break. Thibodeau, really, you really have to beg him to push the ball. You know what I mean?
Run.
So
yeah.
I don't see the fit there. But I do like Ball. Congratulations to him. Got a really good contract. I think he's in a much better situation now than in New Orleans. So I agree. While he's a good get, I just don't see him as a fit with the Knicks.
Do you guys mind if I get two other quick things off real quick before we read off these other players?
No, go for it.
I promise I'll be fast. But the first one is, I really think that we talk about windows closing on certain teams, and when I look at what Miami's done and what Milwaukee's got coming back to the table and what Brooklyn has in place, to me, I think that it's very, very possible that the whole process that everybody's been talking about trusting for the last few years, I have a feeling that window is starting to slam shut. Especially when you consider that we haven't been able to see Embiid stay healthy. He was healthier this year than ever before, but still not so much down the stretch. I think that window is really starting to close in Philly, and that was your number one seed in the Eastern Conference this past year. So I think that's something for us to keep a watch on. And here's the other thing that I didn't know. I just read this today. You realize that Lonzo Ball made more threes this year than a lot of players, a lot of really good players. It would surprise you, including guys like Trae Young.
Yeah, he really shot the ball very well this year.
Yeah, it doesn't come as a shock to me either. I mean, I was very fortunate to catch a lot of Pelican games, and he was – I mean, he was shooting well. I mean, one of the biggest things, like, people like to throw shade at Lonzo, rightfully so, because of, you know, how he came into the league. But he's kind of morphed himself into a nice basketball player. I'm not going to call him an all-star or anything like that, but he plays the role really, really well. And so I'm very, very excited to see, you know, how his game kind of, you know, takes on the next phase. But, yeah, he definitely shot the three ball very, very well. But I'm going to double-click on what you were talking about, the 76ers, as they've been involved in significant trade talks involving, you know, Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. And, I mean, they're losing, you know, a key component off their bench and Dwight Howard. To say the window is closing – it's not as far-fetched as you may appear to be, for the simple fact of the matter is I don't trust Doc Rivers. You know, we could start there. You know, I really don't trust Doc Rivers, his ability to lead a group deep in the postseason. This is a guy who, again, we dragged him, you know, on this network and other networks for his lack of focus and for not having his team prepared
accordingly. But, you know, the window being closed, it all honestly comes down to, in my opinion, what they're able to do with Ben Simmons. If they're able to go out and make a blockbuster deal and, you know, bring in, you know, a legitimate starter, you know, let's say they pull off the unthinkable and Dame Dollar ends up landing in Philly, you know, that window definitely pops wide back open. You know what I'm saying? Because then you got a legitimate, you know, you got a legitimate dog out there who can get you, you know, 25 plus in a given night, and is not afraid of, you know, big crunch time, big shot moments. But, you know, if you're going into, you know, opening week with Ben Simmons still as a starting point guard, then, you know, as we're doing the prediction segment, you gotta slide Philadelphia significantly down, because ultimately it's going to come down to the ability to make shots and get in the Eastern Conference. You know what I'm saying? You got, you know, Brooklyn coming back healthy with something to prove. You got the defending champion, the Milwaukee Bucks. We just got done talking about the Miami Heat. Again, we haven't even spoken about the Atlanta Hawks yet. They got some questions to have answered as well with the makeup of their roster. But obviously, Trae Young is that dude, and he's going to be coming back, you know, playing decent ball. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions in the Eastern Conference as well as the Western Conference. And honestly, the team that needs to make the move has not made any moves, to your point, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I really thought, and, you know, I heard all kinds of rumors about Lowry with the Heat, and obviously that's what just took place. You know, with him being a Villanova boy and all that, I thought the chances were pretty strong that they might consider trying to get him back in Philadelphia, and I thought that would be a nice fit for them. I thought that would be something that would be talked about. And I'm not saying it wasn't, but, you know, hey, it didn't come to pass. And real quick, as far as Lonzo, you know, I wasn't, even as a Lakers fan when he first came in the league, with everything, I still saw the growth and improvement. I didn't want to see them trading, but, you know, you got to give up pieces to get pieces. And so, like, I understand why they did it. And I was kind of secretly hoping that he was going to come back and be you know, be their point guard. We got Westbrook now, but I was hoping for a combination of Ball and Hill to go in the backcourt in L.A. I mean, to be honest with you, going into the offseason.
Yeah, I definitely want to chime in on the Philly talk. Yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from, Mike. I agree the window is closing, but to Sirius's point, they're a move away from getting right back into the mix. So if they can pull the trigger and get, like, Lillard or Beal or something, I think Beal is probably more likely than Lillard. I think if you put those two together, that's a solid piece. Ben Simmons, to me, has to move on. I think the Sixers' asking price is ridiculously high. They wanted, what, I think it was two players and four first-round picks. I mean, you know, miss me with that one. For a guy,
something
it's like
that.
Did you not? Yeah, did you not just see the NBA playoffs? Like, I'm not that. I was born yesterday, but you know,
born at night, but it was. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And like, like you said, miss me with that. I'm gonna tell you, I'll go one step further to you. Miss me with half of that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not giving you two first rounders and two guys, like, legitimate starters off my team for Ben Simmons. I mean, come on, he's got to show me that he can hold down a spot, like, where you can put him in.
I mean,
for me, when you're giving up those kind of guys for one player, you got to show me that player that I'm trading for can actually hold down a spot and I can count on him. Otherwise, why am I going to give up that much?
I mean, and we're talking about a guy that's, what, $40 million a year for the next 4 years. He's going to lock down your roster for the next 4 years. And, you know, during the regular season, yes, he's a plus defender, one of the best defenders in the league. He's great in transition. But we're talking about a guy that in the playoffs came down the court, threw the ball in the corner and ran away. Okay, that can't happen. I'm not giving up four first-round picks for that kind of player. This guy needs to come in and say, you need to work on one or two things. And look at Giannis, right? Giannis is not a three-point shooter. He tries, but he's not. But guess what? When it counted, he wasn't afraid of the moment. He drove to the basket, got to the foul line. 17 and 19 free throws later, he's a champion. If you're telling me that Simmons can't do that, can't just take it to the rim, work on your free throws, make, what is he at, 60-something percent, make 70% of your free throws, then you're worth the money. If he can't do that, then you know what? Get out of here. Go to EuroLeague. Go to the Rec League. There's those games on ESPN right now that they're playing right now. Those teams. Go play with those guys.
Listen, yeah. You might be considered a good on ball defender too if everybody you're checking 6, 7, 8 inches shorter than you.
Absolutely.
Oh. Say that again. I may have to tweet that.
Oh, you might be considered a good on ball defender as well if everybody you check is 6, 7, 8 inches shorter than you.
Facts.
Listen, here's the funny thing. Let's take it to a different level. If you look at the NBA Finals, right? The first two games, mm-hmm. Phoenix won. They punched Milwaukee in the mouth. Everybody was saying,
yep.
Drew Holiday's got to show up. Drew Holiday's going to show up. He has to show up for them to play well. Listen, from that point on, people can say whatever they want. Drew Holiday used that height, used that length, and he bothered Chris Paul. Like, he almost bothered him so bad that he had to get a restraining order, like, for the rest of that series. And so you're talking 6'6 versus 6'1, 6'2. And now you're talking about Ben Simmons being 6'9, 6'10, defending a point guard? Come on, if you couldn't be a good on-ball defender now, you might as well just drop out of the league. Like you said, you might as well go to Europe. Go play in China or something and hook up with 48-year-old Stephon Marbury.
You know, here's the funny thing about that whole situation, you know what I'm saying? You mentioned Giannis. Like, if you look back at the NBA Finals, right, you know what I'm saying, the biggest bugaboo, actually, hell, the whole NBA, the whole playoffs, the biggest bugaboo for Giannis was the fact that he would get to the free throw line, air ball, free throws, would shoot, you know, 7 for 20 from the stripe, would shoot 4 for 11 from the stripe, and his free throw shooting was horrendous. He clearly got his ass in the gym. He clearly got with somebody and worked on his craft to the point where, on the other side, he's a champion. He shot. He missed 2 free throws in the closeout game, the biggest stage of them all, and he figured it out. So I don't want to hear the excuse from Ben Simmons himself. I don't want to hear the excuse from Ben Simmons fans that he's just not a good free throw shooter. Bump that. You're a effing guard in the National Basketball Association. The ball is in your hand 90% of the time. Get your ass in the gym and work on your free throws. We're not asking you to pull from half court like Steph Curry. We're not asking you to, you know, bang on a brother's head like LeBron and them. But when your number is called and when your team needs you, you cannot shy away from that moment. And unfortunately for the Philadelphia 76ers as a whole, they all did that.
Well, and here's the truth, Sirius. What it really comes down to is this. There's a difference in being good and being great. And the difference, and a lot of times, people say talent all you want to, but everybody's got some talent to get to that point. The difference is the work. And if you get there and all you are is happy to kind of be where you are, because people can say whatever work he might do. I get so tired of hearing people say this man can shoot because they're like, when the lights aren't on or whatever, he's shooting all the time, he can fill it up. I'm like, I don't even want to hear that, man. Like, because the difference is in the work, and you can watch him and tell how much work he puts in. I'm just saying, like.
Right.
Yeah,
so my granddad told
you know,
me that
honestly,
when I was playing ball. Yeah, but what I was going to say, and then you can go ahead, Brad. My granddad told me that when I was playing ball, he goes, Aaron, the difference between good and great is razor thin. It's in your preparation. You know what I'm saying? And when the lights are on bright, do you shy away from the spotlight and, you know, or do you rise above it? Or you step into that light, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't going to make every shot. You ain't going to, you know, I'm a drummer. You're not going to do every combo on steel like you want to. But don't you dare shy away from that moment, because that moment's going to come again, and the next time you're going to nail that shit.
Absolutely.
I got one more piece
and, you know,
and Barry.
Let me just get this one quick point. And we're almost at the end, so I'm gonna go till another 30 minutes if that's all right, Sirius, because we are on fire right now. But
let's go.
I tell my son, right, he has to read a book and stuff every day, right, for school, and he comes in and he reads the book, goes right through it, and he's like, I'm done. Like, you just read for like 10 minutes and that's it. And then another day he'll be like, well, how long do I need to read? How many pages do I need to read? No, just read for the next 30 minutes. I don't care. If you finish the book, get another one. And it's not about, you know, the time. It's not about just doing it. It's about, you know, putting in the work and doing it right. You know what I mean? And that's what Simmons doesn't do. Like, you've been in the league. How long has he been in the league for? Like, we have to tell you to shoot free throws. We have to tell you to practice threes. You should know what you need to do in preparation to be a better player. You want to be a really good player, or you want to be an elite player? You want to be an elite player, or you want to be on LeBron's level or Giannis's level or KD's level? There's levels to this, right? If you're okay with where you're at, then be okay with where you're at. But don't get mad when we're critiquing your game and killing you and saying that you're running and hiding, and then get mad when people are telling you need to work on your shot. There's levels to this, and it's like, I feel like he doesn't put the work in, and it's been said. Stephen A. Smith said it. He's not the only one that he's lazy and he doesn't put the work in, and it comes through and it shows in the playoffs when it really matters, when it's crunch time. I mean, that's it.
I'm going to tell you like this. You can think about it or you can be about it, but if you ain't willing to work, you dare not dream about it, because what it really comes down to is this. The difference between comfort and potential is called growth. And so that means you got to be able to push out of that comfort zone and put in that extra work and do the things that make you uncomfortable in order to become comfortable then. And that's the problem. You got a guy who has probably kind of had things handed to him. Let's be honest, man. He's had a lot of things kind of. He's been a little bit privileged. He's had a little bit of a silver spoon, so he ain't never had to try to grab some bites with some chopsticks, dog. So I'm just saying, like, you got to sometimes be willing to be uncomfortable, because working hard, getting up that early in the morning, those two workouts that Kobe used to do every morning, you know what I mean? Like, that's not always comfortable, but that's what you got to do. That's the price you have to pay. You can't be about anything if you ain't willing to pay the price for it.
That's the truth. And that's what's very well said. He doesn't put the work in. He doesn't put the work in. But yeah, serious. Let's talk about who's still on the board right now. So as of right now, call a number 9. I always do 929-477-2759. Crossover Cafe, hosted by yours truly, Sirius Simmons, the villain. We got Mike, friend of the program from the barbershop, calling in, helping us out here. Great time with you guys. But listen, so Kawhi Leonard, we all know Kawhi Leonard he won't sign until Friday at the very earliest. Nobody knows what he's going to do. But John Collins, restricted free agent, still on the board. DeMar DeRozan, still on the board, unrestricted free agent. A lot of places he could go. Norman Powell, he's still available as of the last I checked. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's still available on the board. Kelly Oubre, he's still available from Golden State, unrestricted. Dennis Schroeder, a friend of the program who we all doesn't think. He's going to get his money.
It's probably going to be a sign and trade, but he's going to get it.
He's going to get his money. He's going to end up in Sacramento.
Kelly Olynyk could get 3 years, $37 million. Where there's a will, there's a way. So he's going to get his money. Reggie Jackson still available, unrestricted free agent. That domino will fall. Victor Oladipo, as you mentioned, Sirius. We'll see what happens with him with the injury. He'll probably sign a 1 year deal, rehab, and then get back into the market next year. Those are the big names. I honestly, listen, If the Knicks sign Schroeder, I said it on my blog, Sirius, I wouldn't be mad.
I'm coming.
Just because.
You have to say, if the Knicks sign Dennis Schroeder, I'm getting on. I'm getting in my car and driving 4 hours to do a welfare check on you. I'm letting you know off the rip. Tell Ms. Jordan to have a plate of spaghetti for me,
okay,
and a bottle of Hennessy, because I'm gonna have to sit with you for a while.
Okay, I mean,
because
we'll pray together. We'll pray together.
We'll have to do a bunch of that, because if the Knicks pay what Dennis Schroeder is asking for, that totally negates what we just talked about before about the New York Knicks overpaying and giving out the dumbass, stupid contracts.
That's a bad contract. Now, the player, I wouldn't mind. Listen, Schroeder was not a good fit in L.A., and this is why I say that. LeBron is a ball-dominant forward. Schroeder's a point guard. With the ball, he can't play with the ball off. He can't play off the ball. I think he needs to be a point guard on the ball. So it wasn't a good fit in L.A. Now, Mike, you might see it differently because you're an L.A.
fan.
Can I please get in?
Can I please tell you why you're wrong? Please.
Okay, let me finish. And you can rip it to shreds. But I think he was. It wasn't a good fit in L.A. with LeBron. I think he's a good defender. I think he's better than what he played in L.A., and I don't think he's worth $120 million, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets $20 million a year.
I think he showed flashes in L.A., but the reason why Dennis Schroeder was not a good fit in L.A. is not because he has to because LeBron likes to be dominant with the ball, and so does he. That's not why it didn't work. The reason why it didn't work in L.A. is because Dennis Schroeder, when he first came over to the Lakers, he already was thinking about that next contract, and he was already thinking about everything that he needed to do for that team in order to try to earn that next contract. So he walked in the door saying, I'm not willing – I'm going to be the starting point guard. I have to be the starting point guard. I understand that people would say, well, he's better than other people or whatever, but here's the thing. You just had one of your best years the previous year, and you just had a defending NBA champ want you because of your play, and what did he do? He came off the bench. He started the year before with Chris Paul. Before Chris Paul got there, he started. Look at their record, right? But when Chris Paul came in, you had another point guard on the roster, a very ball-dominant player. That team with Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and a bunch of no-names were the fifth seed in the Western Conference, not even the East. Okay? So – to me, it's all about that mindset, though. He came in thinking about, all right, team me. I referenced that movie, Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, a few times just because I think it's kind of funny. But he came in all about team me. And that was what it was from the jump. You had a lot of guys on there worried about where they were going to fit in and making a big deal over where they were going to fit in instead of just doing it. And the truth of the matter is, if he had done that, his value would have been higher because we saw flashes. He can play defense. The problem is he can play defense and he can score. He's a good basketball player, but sometimes he just, I don't know if it's, he got up in his own head at times this year, but he was not as consistent as he has been in the past. And Schroeder's a nice, but he doesn't need to be a first or second option.
Absolutely. Two things. Norman Powell just signed a 5-year deal, $90 million. With the Portland Trail Blazers, so he's going back to Portland. Blake Griffin agrees to a 1-year deal with the Brooklyn Nets, so he's staying put. Smart move by Blake Griffin to stay in Brooklyn and run it back with the Brooklyn Nets.
And a smart move by the Nets.
So
you can afford it.
I'm curious to see what that Brooklyn team does, you know, looks like with them. But, yeah, Norm Powell is another guy that I was curious to see where he would sign. You know, the there's a lot circling around the Portland Trail Blazers, you know. So the fact that they got that piece there is significant. We still don't know what else we're going to look like in Portland. But with that being said, here's my issue with Dennis Schroeder. I'm gonna double click on that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I disagree and I agree at the same time because my thing with Dennis,
you can't
do that.
You can't
even
do that.
Hold on.
I hope you got a fresh mouth the way you double clicking tonight.
Watch serious work real quick. I do believe that he came into Los Angeles with a me first mentality. He needed to do what he needed to do to try to get his next deal. And again, he did show flashes. But the problem that I have is that, you know, when it was time for him to actually step up and do some things, had he done them, that would have made his demands that much more attainable. You feel what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
You know, I'm saying? So at the end of the day, like I agree with what my man was saying that, you know, how he came into Los Angeles, because I do remember reading a story about how he got there and he said that he is the point guard and okay, whatever, my guy. You know what I'm saying? You're playing with LeBron James. LeBron James can make you sweep the floor if you want, but I digress. But at the end of the day, when the time came for him to play big ball and for him to prove his worth and potentially audition for the next major deal, he didn't do well. So that's why I say I agree and I disagree on the same where we're going with it. See how I brought that together? I'm a pretty
you just completely agree with me though. Because I said the same thing. He disappeared. You pretty much disagree with everything I said.
Exactly.
Kind of, sort of.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Kind of, sort of, a little bit.
But, you know, here's the deal. I want to run with that other point that you made, because the Brooklyn Nets are in the same position as the Los Angeles Lakers. So they have to go into the lower tier market with free agents to fill out their roster. They already got Blake Griffin, but I'm looking at guys like that they need, like a J.J. Redick, maybe Patty Mills, Lou Williams. Jeff Green's off the board now. He signed a nice little deal. Rudy Gay, Carmelo Anthony, Nick Batum. Those are the kind of guys that they're going to have to go after to fill out their roster, because they like the Lakers. Big threes don't really work now in the NBA with the salaries being over $40 million. So now you got to really be creative in how you fill the roster. He signed with Denver, right? Was it Denver Sirius that he signed with? I got to pull it up.
He's with the Denver Nuggets.
That's a sneaky good signing for Denver, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, 2 years, $10 million with the Nuggets.
Let me tell you the truth. You're right. First of all, first and foremost, you're exactly right. It's hard when you get three contracts like that. But listen, it's the ever evolving game though, because it was hard for Kobe and Shaq at times,
mm-hmm.
and they had to have some guys really. But I mean, the Lakers had some guys take minimums and had a tough time building a roster around two guys 20 years ago. And now we've gotten to where it's hard to build around three. I mean, even building around two has its challenges depending on what else you're trying to do. But it's extra challenging when you have three contracts of that size to build a payroll. So I said the same thing after the Westbrook trade. I thought it gave him another star. And if you have street closeout or something else that somebody not playing, then you have the chance to still be two stars on the floor, so you have a chance to still be competitive. But it all matters on what you can build around them and how you can form those rosters, because that's what's going to make the difference, not just those three-on-three, but what the rosters look like around them. That's going to be the key piece.
Yeah, I actually agree with you there. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what these teams do, you know what I'm saying? You mentioned people like a J.J. Redick. Where does he fit in? Where does he sign? Again, Nick Batum, I believe he's staying there in Los Angeles doing with the Clippers. But, you know, the bargain barrel, if you want, I hate calling it that, because, you know, these are guys who, in my opinion, if they get placed into the right situation, can really set a team up, you know, over the top. You know, we look at a cat like Bobby Portis, who is now a champion with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, he was a throw-in, but he was a guy who came off the bench as, you know, he would be considered a bargain player, if you will. But he came in and did some work. So if you put these guys in the right situation, I think there's definitely going to be beneficial to the mega three teams that we're talking about, being the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. I'm just curious to see where all these cats end up going, man. It's a great time of year, you know, especially, you know, with basketball and everything. Villain, what else you got on your mind, buddy?
I like Connolly going back with the Jazz. I think a 3-year deal is reasonable. I thought he'd get 5, but I think a 3-year deal at they got $74 million is a good get. I think, you know, we were talking about Father Time tapping people on the shoulder 2 years ago. We thought Connolly was done, and he had his first All-Star selection, had a really good year for the Jazz, really rejuvenated that team, and you know, I think he's a piece that they couldn't afford to lose, especially with all the point guards coming off the board with Paul and Lowry. I think Conley was the next piece, and Ball as well. You know, so I think the Jazz had no choice but to bring him back, and I think he's a good fit. So I like that with Conley reading up with the Jazz.
All right. Let me see. Yo, we still got Matt here. Matt, you still here, buddy?
There you go again.
He did it on purpose, right?
I know what he was doing. Yeah, man. Like, what up, Mike? Man, did Chris Paul officially resign with Phoenix?
He officially agreed to the deal.
4 years. $120 million.
120 million, yeah.
You know what?
He will be 40 years old.
He opts out, though, and that's a more cost. I mean, it's a longer-term deal for Chris Paul, but it actually is better for that team as far as its salary caps and things go and what they want to do.
Absolutely.
So it makes sense on both sides. And I think, like, people always want to originally jump at it and say, well, of course, they're not going to go for less money at all in any situation or whatever. And the truth of the matter is sometimes you got to step back and look at it and go, is it worth it, and are there benefits of it? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, he could have got 45, but now he's got 120 over 4 years. He may make less next year, but he's going to make more in time. And it's not like $30 million you're asking the man to play for chump change. I think you're appreciating him for his talents and who he is. I mean, that's plenty to play on. And he's got that security of it. He gets to stay there or whatever. And so, like, I think that's fine for Chris Paul. I'll be interested to see if he retires there or does anything different before that contract is out. But that's also not an unreasonable contract. Listen, nobody thought that anybody would take that contract when they talked about trading him, but they found a way to do so. And so now it's more reasonable on both sides, and it's not unfair.
I think it's a good contract. I alluded to that. And I think it's a good contract for both sides. They got JaVale McGee out of it as well. So it's a good deal for them. I look for the Suns to make a push and really try to go after it this year. It's going to be tough with the Lakers and company. But and one thing with Kawhi Leonard, I know we didn't really discuss it, but what is he thinking? Why would you opt out of the contract? It behooves both sides to opt into the contract. He gets more money because they keep his rights. And then the what happens is the Clippers can get a disabled player exception, get $10 million to sign another player while you're trying to rehab. They don't get that now that you opted out. So and then you're going to resign there. We know you're going to resign there.
We don't know that, bro. Like, at the end of the day, like, here's the thing, like, in my honest opinion, like, if Kawhi really wanted to stay in Los Angeles, I think he would have opted in because of what you just alluded to. Like, he understands the business side of this thing just like the rest of us. And, like we understand. Like, this is not the – again, I said this during the playoffs. This is not the first time when he's been pissed off about the way he's been handled injury-wise with the franchise. He did the same thing with the San Antonio Spurs, and we saw how that ended. So ultimately, obviously, I won't be shocked if come Friday or whenever that he asks to go you know, to Chicago or go somewhere else, because I don't think he wants to be in L.A. anymore. I really don't.
I don't disagree with you. It's interesting, though, because it was home. Hey, if the Clippers had been in San Diego, he might have stayed home, too. But, no, I mean,
right.
I think there's a possibility he still goes back. Maybe again. Maybe it's something similar to a little less money, but a couple years, and with an option to re-up, because when the new TV deal comes out the next year or two, those contracts should be a lot bigger. They're going to go up even more. So you're going to see, I mean, you know, listen, there were projections that said Tim Hardaway would get $90 to $100 million in the offseason. He still got 72, and the people that I thought were crazy high weren't that far off on Duncan Robinson getting $100 million either, right? So I think he's going to go back to the Clippers, but just like you said, it would not surprise me to see him go to another team. But I wonder if you're Kawhi and you're not going to stay in L.A., do you say, you know what, dog, I'd rather go back to the East?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
you got to look at it like that. I mean, I don't want to say it's an easier path than to get back to the NBA Finals. But, I mean, in the East, you know, I think he had his best success there. I haven't liked this Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. But before we get out of here, let me go ahead and reset what's going on. Obviously, the latest and greatest, the Brooklyn Nets re-signed Blake Griffin. Norman Powell agrees to a 5-year deal to stay in Portland. Let's see, Austin Rivers decides to stay in Denver, which I think is a low-key big move for them. Solomon Hill returns to the Hawks on a 1-year deal. I'm sorry?
Add that with Jeff Green, since you're recapping once again, Jeff Green in Denver to go along with.
Yeah. Pelicans acquired Devontae Graham via
signing trade there,
so... I like that move there. Let me see. What else we got? Cody Zeller decided to sign with the Blazers. Mike Mustalella, he re-signed with the Thunder. Which TP was in here to talk about that one. That's an interesting move for me. I'm not too sure about that one. Obviously, we talked about
Headliner.
Sign.
That's a headliner.
You know what I'm saying? we may need to blog about that one later, bro. Obviously, we talked about PJ Tucker signing with the Heat.
Another nice move, though. Serious. Another nice move. Gary Trent goes back to the Raptors on a 3-year, $54 million deal.
Very big move there. Very big move there. I was actually getting to that there. Rockets signed Daniel Theis. Happened while we was on the show here. Again, the Knicks fan, you know, mentioned this, but signing Alex Lynn to a 2-year deal. Evan Fournier, Corey Joseph, which is a name who I like. He signed with the Pistons. Let's see, Batum decided to take the Clippers.
In free agency too.
Yeah, they did.
Who was the other one? They got Corey Joseph and they got what?
Kelly Olynyk from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. And then you just said the Clippers signing. You just mentioned the Clippers. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
You got the Clippers signed Nick Batum. So he decided to a 2-year deal. Yeah, he ran it back. JaVale McGee obviously signed with the Phoenix Suns. He talked about that.
Lakers is signed Wayne Ellington.
I do like that, Mike. I like Wayne Ellington. I tell you, he had a nice little run in Detroit. I think that's a good low-key move that they need to make. More moves like that, I think the Lakers will fill off the roster very nicely because they can't make trades during the season. They'll have no assets.
He's a nice little shooter. He's a nice little shooter.
He could shoot. He could play a little bit of defense as well. I mean, he's not a bad piece, especially when you just need him to play a role.
He's a Tar Heel alum. I like him. I like Leonard. Stop it now. Stop it now. Stop it now. So that's pretty much it that we talked about before while we were on the show. Everything else happened after, you know, before we got on. Obviously, Derrick Rose signing, you know, obviously Ball signing, all that stuff. I'm running through the website now. So everything else is still up in the air. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're still seeing a lot of names in a lot of different places. I mean, obviously, a lot of attention in L.A., so a lot of names as far as what's coming there. Speculation about, you know, could anything happen with Lillard, Simmons, like we talked about during this show as well. I mean, there's still a lot of things out there, but it's interesting because with it happening early in the week on a Monday, I think by Friday we'll definitely we'll know a whole lot. It's exciting. It's interesting to see how much talk there is about it and how it doesn't take very long. I mean, second free agency is kind of like that in basketball. Dominoes seem to fall faster than in a lot of other sports.
Oh, definitely.
Baseball,
definitely.
We still sometimes waiting for people to get signed in the middle of March. I mean, not all. You get it. Some pretty good players, too.
Yeah, man. So, all right, man. So, Villain, what else you got on? What else you want to talk about, my man?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought all those moves were nice. I think I want to get into John Collins real quick because nothing's really happened yet. And you know, listen, Luka Doncic and Trae Young are going to sign their extensions pretty soon. We don't know what type of money they're going to get, but they're going to get his aid, right? So, you like that, right? But listen, John Collins, they got to fit him into the mix. I think he didn't take the deal last year, right? Bet on himself, and, you know, he won. He had a really good season, a really strong playoff performance, and he's going to get that money. I wouldn't be surprised if a team really puts in a big offer sheet, but will the Hawks need to match it? Will they match it? But I think they need to match it because he's part of that young core that, hey, the Hawks are building through – they built through the draft. They got some nice players now. I think they're ready to really make a push. They're a dangerous team in the East. I think Collins has to come back so that they can stay out on top of where they are.
I actually agree with you. Go ahead and get it, Matt. Go ahead and get it, Mike.
Now, I like that. I agree. I just think the problem is if it's higher than what they want, I don't think they will because there's always been this thing. Anytime you hear Collins talk about it, anytime I bring it up around Hawks people, there's always the comment, well, he ain't going to get everything he said he wants. And all it takes is one, right? Like, all it takes is one team to find that value and decide they want to take you. And so that's going to be very, very interesting to me to see if somebody else does that. Because if it's high enough, they don't match it. And if they don't, then as good as Trae Young is, unless some of these other pieces really pan out and you can trade for a big at some point, you have really, for an athletic four at some point, then you've definitely stunted your growth. You started smoking cigarettes at 12 or something. So, I mean, they need to find a way to make it happen.
So, actually, I agree with you. You know, I like John Collins. I think he's a tremendous component to what they want to do there in Atlanta. I think they showed up to the party you know, a year or two early because, again, speaking about a team nobody expected to make a run, you know, we were talking about the Knicks earlier, this Atlanta Hawks team fits that, you know, better than anybody, in my opinion. And it's because of the play of Luka, not Luka, but Trae, and I'm saying I'm watching Luka now, my fault, the play of Trae Young. And Collins, you know what I'm saying? So I do think they need to go ahead and do what they need to do to get that man his bread. I think he earned it when he was hurt. You know, the team really didn't play the same. He's a guy who brings that high energy, brings that dog stuff that I like to talk about so much. I mean, hell, he put a picture of a jam on a dude's head. I think it was Embiid on a T-shirt. I love him forever for that. You know what I'm saying? So,
So I definitely think they need to go ahead and get that man his bread. It's going to be curious, like my man Barry alluded to, you know, if they get that done. But ultimately, you know, you made significant strides along with bringing back Nate McMillan as your coach. You removed the interim tag off of him. So he's now your new head coach. So, you know, what's the line going to look like next year? You know what I'm saying? Nas, get in the building. I need to talk to you, man. Get in the building. We need to have a conversation. You know what I'm saying?
I just hope it's not a poison pill like the Jeremy Lin contract. But, I mean, he's worth it. I think you have to do it, and you have to make it work afterwards. I agree. John Collins, he has to come back to LA. I mean, Atlanta, sorry about that.
Well, the issue with Jeremy Lin was, you know what I'm saying, he was friends with the Knicks, man. Nobody cares about the stupid Knicks, man. That's it. that was the issue.
See, this is like, I can only stomach you for like 2 hours or so a week. And when I have to get overtime, another hour and a half with you, it's unbearable. This is what I'm talking about, people. I mean, it's you know, Malik's dad is just really annoying to talk to. I mean, I love Malik. That's the little homie. But his dad is a pain in the ass. So how the Rockets do this free agency? Who the Rockets sign? Who did they sign?
We signed Daniel Theus. That's a big splash right there. Get out.
Okay.
Say something.
Did you sign your mascot back, or did the mascot walk? The mascot walked?
He may have walked. When did that happen? When he showed up, he showed up overweight and out of shape, so we cut him. And so then what's going to happen is he's going to show up in Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying, and be skinny and lean, immaculate.
You know, love and respect to our brother TP Timeless Wonder. When you said we signed, if he felt like messing with you, he would have said, "Are you French?"
Yeah, he would have.
No doubt. I love it, man. Oh man, but let's get some closeouts and plugs, man. You know, a good 90 minutes talking some NBA. The NBA free agency feast on the crossover cafe, man. Good times, right? Good times.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Thanks for coming out and kicking with us. Go ahead, Mike. Give us a plug and a close out, man. Shut us down, man.
All right, man. I got you a couple of things really quick, man. First of all, I mean, exciting free agency. We'll see how the super teams can build around their rosters and see what else happens. A lot of dominoes have fallen. The other thing that I would like to say is keep an eye out this week. We got if you didn't see it this morning on NBC coming up right now, it's going to be like the 200-meter finals for the women is tonight. There's a couple really big track races. Early in the morning also, the United States has a chance to win their first gold medal in women's freestyle wrestling. They got a girl. She is bad, too. And she's wrestling for a gold medal in the morning. She's beaten the girl twice in world competitions over the last couple of years. So, she's a pretty fascinating story. Check it out. Her name is Tamara Minta Stock. She's wrestling tomorrow. And there's some the men's freestyles happening this week. There's some really talented guys that the U.S. are sending out there. So check it out. But Minta Stock is probably she's in that conversation for best wrestler in the country. And I'm talking regardless of gender. She's special. So check her out. Keep an eye on those Olympic sports, man. We only see these sports every 4 years. So, you know, Olympics are wrapping up this week. You can catch a lot of it even early morning. If you wake up early or, you know, happen to be burning the oil or whatever, a lot of it on Olympic Channel. Obviously, it can stream through the NBC Olympics. Olympics has their own app. But, man, just check them out. And my last thing before I go, and I look forward to chopping up with you guys at the cookout and the baseball buffet and the brunch in this week ahead. So make sure to check out Sports City Chefs and all the things we have here. Check out the merch, but also you heard him mention earlier, the barbershop, Timeless Wonder TP, who if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be on here chopping it up with you guys. Much love, always, every time for TP. I'm always going to open or close with his name in my mouth out of appreciation and respect. But check out the barbershop on Clubhouse. It's Timeless and we got our dude Groove in there as the two basically owners of the barbershop on Clubhouse, man. It doesn't matter whether you come with dreads or fades, come with a take, be willing to
have discussions. We talk about sports. We have comfortable and uncomfortable conversations in life, bro. We really chop it up, and it's really a community of people. We even have little mental health check-ins. We have some trivias and versus battles as well. We also have little freestyle people come in and drop stuff. We've also had some giveaways in the shop. So come by, check it out. You don't even need the invite to get on Clubhouse anymore, but come check out the barbershop and follow us, man. You can also find me at my username on Clubhouse is LSUFan149. Same on Instagram at MikeHarvey149 on Twitter. So thanks again, man. Much love to you guys and much respect.
All right, well, thanks for coming by, Mike Harvey Matters, man. Hey, Barry, man, shut us down, homie.
Listen, I don't need to say anymore, man. The website, the merch, the blogs, the interviews, you know what we do. Shows every day. We got the Crossover Cafe tonight, the special edition. Thanks for listening. We got the College Cookout Wednesday, the Baseball Buffet on Thursday, our flagship show, P. Timeless Sunday Brunch. So, and we'll have the NFL free-for-all, I think, tomorrow. If not, we'll be getting back to that soon. NFL season is around this corner, which means Carson Wentz is hurt again. But on that note, the villain is out. Check us out. We're doing a lot of big things. Sirius, you know what to do. You can close us out, brother.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703. Shout-out to the powers that be for letting me get behind New Orleans Riders thing for a little bit. Man, so definitely thanks for checking us out, man. Everybody who came through, my man Mike, my man Barry, the villain. Matt was in here for a little bit, just chopping it up, man, doing what we do, man. Definitely shout out to the homie TP, you know what I'm saying, who's off doing some things right now, but I'm sure he's going to catch the podcast and, you know, have some things to say to your boy, which I expect because that's what he does. You know what I'm saying? And since he ain't here, you know what I'm saying? A telephone to tell a friend. It's your boy Sirius again. And if you don't know, now you know.
Sports City, Sports City, kaboom. Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, chefs.